When a child steps into a Seattle puddle, you might think, what's it going to take to clean those shoes? But dirty wet shoes are not the biggest problem. The water puddle is actually a chemical soup. It's full of things like drops of oil and tiny particles of tire dust. And when it rains, this stew mixes with all the other puddles and their toxins, and the entire watery mess flows into Puget Sound. That's where salmon and other sea creatures eat it. So how does dining on toxins affect them? Jennifer McIntyre is studying that question. She's a stormwater researcher at Washington State University, and she told me the chemical cocktail affects the fish in many ways.
One is that little fish can develop heart problems, so it's cardiotoxic. And we also see that in adult salmon, we find that it can actually just kill them outright.
The chemicals from our stormwater runoff can kill adult salmon?
Yeah, we find in urban creeks or creeks that are in urbanizing areas that after storm events, adult salmon that have come back to spawn, they're dead before they get a chance to spawn.
We are a growing region, fastest growing city in the nation, in Seattle and the regions around growing. So are we seeing more pollution in the stormwater and thus more pollution going into the creeks and into Puget Sound?
That certainly is going to be what's happening as we spread our urban footprint out from the center of Seattle, let's say. More and more of the stormwater runoff that comes off of our impervious hard surfaces like roads and like roofs will contain more of those contaminants that can harm fish.
Where do those contaminants come from? Is it the pesticides that we put on a lawn, or are they more ubiquitous?
Well, pesticides on lawns, absolutely. I've specifically been studying road runoff, and those contaminants are coming from brake pads. Every time you touch your brakes, a little dust comes off. It contains a lot of heavy metals. Tires themselves get worn down. I mean, we know they get worn down. That contains crazy chemicals. And also the exhaust from vehicles, little particles that are in the smog settle down on the road and get washed off with runoff.
Wow. Well, Jennifer, I know you've been working on what you hope are easy solutions. So can you explain how do they help?
Basically, the problems we're having with runoff are because we no longer have a forest here. We no longer have the marshes and the forest soil like acting like a sponge, soaking up the water and filtering it. So the idea with these rain gardens and other types of approaches is that the water can again be slowed down, soaked in, and spread out.
So I think of this as sort of an ecosystem cheesecloth that's catching some of the contaminants?
Yeah, you can think of it like a filter catching particles, things like the actual tire dust. And then on a finer level, the soil particles themselves can actually stick dissolved contaminants directly to the soil and hold them there.
Where did you get this idea?
Well, rain gardens and approaches like that, this toolkit of low impact development has been around for quite a while, but it's been studied in terms of hydrology, how well it reduces flows. And we're pretty much the first people to be taking the novel approach of letting the animals tell us whether it's working.
So how do you do that? How do you find out if they respond better than others? I mean, I can't imagine that you're in Puget Sound picking fish up.
Right. This does take place in a more kind of quasi-laboratory field environment. We build these soil columns, which are essentially like a core section through a rain garden. And then we bring real urban runoff. We collect it off of highways, and we bring that to where we have these soil columns, and we let the water filter through and collect it afterwards. And then we compare how toxic was it before it went through, how toxic was it after it went through.
And how much of the contaminants can you actually remove from a natural filter?
Well, I found it to be really impressive so far. In terms of chemistry, you know, you can measure how much the metals are removed, how much the organics are removed, and that's all a great story. But the animals have been telling us that, in fact, it prevents pretty much all of the toxicity we've been able to measure so far.
I'm talking with researcher Jennifer McIntyre, and that's great in a lab, but I'm thinking about the size and depth of Puget Sound and the number of marine creatures. It's got to cost a fortune to build a filter that would be big enough to handle that kind of water. So how would we pay for something like that, given that we can't even figure out how to pay for K-12 education?
Yeah, that's a question a little bit above my pay grade, but I can certainly make an attempt to answer.
Sure.
We are being mandated by the state for any new developments to include these types of approaches. And it's no one thing. It needs to be lots and lots of places rather than one big detention pond, that type of approach, because the runoff itself is dispersed. And that's probably going to be the best approach for dealing with it.
Jennifer, in our area, we are very eco-conscious. We live in a beautiful part of the world. But I think sometimes when people hear about all the problems that we face, our eyes can glaze over. So, you know, maybe we don't fish. Maybe we don't even eat fish. Maybe we don't even go swimming. Why is this important for everybody to know about?
Sure. So especially on the surface, things look pretty good here still. You know, we look at a Puget Sound. It's beautiful. It's got some lovely clear waters. We know there's like orcas swimming in it.
Right.
Hello. But if you're able to look through it through the lens of an ecologist or a biologist, you see that things are actually in quite a bit of trouble. And the trend is not good. You know, you look places that have been urbanized for much longer and things are really in a terrible situation. So if we can prevent some of that from happening, we'll be in a much better place than in other regions.
Now, a lot of people will care that the fish and marine life are healthy and safe. What does it matter to me if a salmon lives to adulthood?
Well, on the source control side of these contaminants, we know that some of the same chemicals that are giving the fish bad hearts also get into the air and affect human health, give humans bad hearts. So I think it's an issue that really does cross those biological boundaries and that we should be more aware of and more concerned about.
Jennifer McIntyre is a stormwater researcher at Washington State University.